Blog Talk Radio.
Melissa Ambers presents the best and hottest show on Blog Talk Radio, Gotham Talk, where we talk to entertainers, business owners, comedians, and everybody who's somebody about what they're doing right. We're bringing you the best conversations regarding business, current affairs, and how it relates to you. Buckle up, it's going to be a great show.
Hi, we're on Gossip Talk, and today we have a show where we will be talking to not only a best-selling author, but a lead writer on a nationally syndicated show that we're all familiar with, Tom Joyner Morning Show. Mary is the lead writer for Tom Joyner. She's also her own writer in itself, so she has her own business as being a ghostwriter, writing press releases, speeches for individuals. So, help me welcome Mary to the show. Hi, Mary.
Hey, Melissa. How are you?
I'm good. So, Tell us, I know you've been co-hosting with us, and we never really, you know, talked about you, what you do. So, share a little bit about Mary, who Mary is, how you got into writing and, you know, just start to become, you know, really good at it and enjoy, and just enjoy writing.
Yeah, so I've been writing for as long as I can remember. It just really came natural to me since I was a kid. And so as I got older, I didn't really know what careers were available in writing other than like newspaper writing, print journalism, that kind of thing. I didn't even really realize TV and radio really used writers as much as they do. So I just sort of just did it for fun as a kid. And I just realized it came easily to me. And as I got older, I started, when I went to college, I was a journalism major. I just started looking for ways to get paid for doing what I loved.
Okay. So once, you know, that came, you know, to fruition that, okay, I can actually make money doing something I enjoy. At that time, did you just pursue different occupations, or did you sign up for it in college? What, you know, what kind of helped you progress and grow with your craft?
And so I took radio classes, some TV classes, but I was on the campus, wrote for the campus newspaper. But I saw that radio really was becoming something that I really, really liked. So I did a few internships. I was in Los Angeles. And the hard part about trying to do anything in Los Angeles is it is like the number two market in the country. So if you're going to, usually people are starting at any city and state all over the country, and they're trying to get to Los Angeles. So when you live in Los Angeles, you kind of have the feeling you're going to have to move somewhere else to really make it. Really get your feet wet, but I was really fortunate. I did, like I said, several internships at radio stations in Los Angeles, and after college, I got hired at KNX News Radio, and it's a CBS affiliate in Los Angeles. And I was a production assistant, but I still was getting experience and meeting people. No matter what I did, no matter what job I did, because after that I got a job in print journalism. I stayed there like 10 years, and I really didn't like that job so much because it was for a magazine, but it was a magazine like for car dealers, so it wasn't really, you know, it wasn't anything I was really that interested in. But if I could give advice to anyone who you know, who have a passion to do something. No one can stop you from doing what you want to do. You may not get paid a lot of money to do it, but you can do it. So even while I was doing the job I didn't love, I was working, doing apprenticeships and internships for free, doing what I really wanted to do, making contacts, meeting people, honing my skills, getting better at it, getting more confident at it. And eventually it paid off when I met somebody who suggested that I audition to write for an urban comedy show, radio comedy show, which happened to be Tom Joyner's weekend show that he used to have back in the 90s. And so even though he lived in Dallas, the show was actually produced by like young writers in Los Angeles. So I started doing that and writing comedy, which is what I always wanted to, not always, but that's what I started getting more comfortable doing. I had a good feel for what was funny and what worked. And so I started writing comedy bits for Tom Joyner, not even knowing who Tom Joyner was and him not knowing who I was, because we were like miles and miles away.
Wow.
And I just kept doing my best. And the people started saying, Tom, really? Because what would happen is there were several writers, and we'd all come once a week and turn in these comedy bits, and they could only choose like two or three. And almost every time, mine was, if I wrote three, all three of mine were used, you know. And so they're like, man, Tom loves your writing. And when the show went, then he got a nationally syndicated deal with back then with ABC Radio, and he established a team. The show launched, and he asked me to be part of it, and that's how I got involved with the Tom Joyner Morning Show.
Wow, that shows right there that if you believe in what you want to do and you stick with it, I mean, dreams can come true. You just never know who knows who sees you,
right.
And who's going to pull you. You know, you think you're in that rough, and as I said, a diamond in the rough, but you never know who see you glistening, and you never know who's
right.
going to pull you up. So that's awesome. That is really awesome.
And that's why you always have to, you always have to do your best. And
right.
You know, even if it's something you don't like doing, because like you said, you don't know who's looking. I had no idea that was even a possibility, let alone going to happen. So it wasn't easy when I said, because while I was in California, which is Pacific time, he was in Dallas, which was Central time. So the show started at 5 a.m. in Dallas, which is 3 a.m. in Los Angeles. I would have to get up like at 2 a.m. and write punchlines to news stories and, you know, come up with funny angles for things that were happening in the news, do that, fax it to him, to bed, get up at 7 and go to my job that I didn't like, the magazine. And I did that for from January until and then in May he called, because he had a head writer who was a comedian, and it wasn't working out, and he called me and asked me if I wanted to move to Dallas to be the head writer. And I'm like, I'm in Los Angeles, dude, why would I want to come to Dallas? But you know, it was a great opportunity, and I was married, and I still am married, and my husband, you know, it really took I'm thankful to this day that he was supportive enough to agree to move to Dallas, because we both had family in Los Angeles, he had a job in Los Angeles, you know, all of that, and he always said, I'm not going to wake up in 20 years and you look in the mirror saying, you would have let me do this. You know, you just never know. So it's worked out for some of us. You know, Dallas has been good to us, and Tom Joyner certainly has been. It was a good move. He's a great boss. It's a good show that I still enjoy. I tell people I have a job that I promise you I laugh every single day at work. You know, so
we actually can hear that. We can actually hear that because, I mean, sometimes those shows, it's like, wow, yeah.
Right, yep.
So tell us how did Shift come about? We know, you know, you write and all of that, but now it's pretty much transitioning into, you know, let's write a book. And, yes, you know, collaboration with 19 other women, a total of 20, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so a total of 20 women, you know, different personalities, different areas of expertise, different businesses, and
mm-hmm.
all came together to produce a best-selling Amazon book. So how did that come about to be a part of that project?
Well, I have been collaborating in all kind of ways with Nikki Woods, who is the author of that book, and she's also the senior producer of the Tom Joyner Morning Show. So our jobs are like kind of go hand in hand. She's in charge of all the content that you hear on the Tom Joyner Morning Show, and I produce a lot of the content that you hear. She decides what's going to go on with, you know, with all the contributors, all of the everything. She just put, like, she runs the morning show. So we started working together on various projects, various writing projects, and when she came up with the idea to do a collaborative book, it was really because she's been writing most of her life the same as I have. She's really used it as an outlet to deal with some issues, some unfortunate things that have happened in her past. And she discovered that by not just writing about it, because you can write your heart out in journals and all that stuff, but when you're ready to share something, things that are personal in your life, share with the world, not only is it helpful and cathartic for you, it's helpful and cathartic for other people. And when she realized that, she was thinking, well, there's so many other women with stories to tell, but they just don't have a platform to get their stories out. And so if you know Nikki Woods, she has, like, tons of Facebook and tons of Twitter followers. She calls herself a global visibility expert because she jumped on the social media train when most of us were, like, saying, yeah, you know, or thinking it's a fad or just thinking it wasn't, you know, why am I going to spend my time on Facebook or Twitter? What's in it for me? And she was like sort of like a pioneer in that. So anyway, so she realized that with her platform and the stories that women had to tell, it could be something cool. And it turned out to be bigger than we thought it would be. So I came on board basically to sort of help coordinate the writers, the authors, because a lot of them were first-time authors. You know, it's one thing to write your story, but it's another thing to have it, you know, really ready to go into a book. So along with Niecy Black, Nikki and myself, we went through all the stories. I helped write bios and all that stuff for them. And I contributed an article just because, you know, it was just a chance to do it. I wasn't really trying to go that deep within myself to do it because I just never really thought of doing it that way. But once I did, once I allowed myself to really be open and honest about things that happened to me to bring me to the place where I was. My chapter, by the way, is called Beyond the Glory, Behind the Glory. And it kind of goes into my personality and why ghostwriting or being a behind-the-scenes chick, which is something Melissa and I play around with. you know, there's nothing wrong. There's actually an art to being able to be behind the scenes and as a ghostwriter or just a coordinator or a planner or something. The person is not always in the spotlight. But the twist of it was, once I started writing it, I was like, when I was honest with myself, I was like, well, actually, I don't want to be behind the scenes. I just always end up behind the scenes. But when I was a kid, I always thought I would be, you know, famous or be, you know, be a TV anchor woman or something like that. And it just didn't really work out that way. But the point of it turned out to be, you know, you can either spend your life saying, well, I always wanted to do this and I didn't really get to do it, and devaluing what you do, or you can find the value in what you are doing, still pursuing your dreams, but to appreciate what your contributions are, no matter how big or how small. I never thought my contributions were small. I just didn't really, I wasn't really as proud as I am now that I kind of looked inside myself to figure out what was making me feel like being behind the scenes wasn't as valuable as being up front. So It was kind of an eye opening experience, and it helped me appreciate what I did. And as soon as I started doing that, then seems like the door opened for all kinds of other opportunities, because I wasn't chasing it anymore. You know, I was like, okay, this is what I do. I do this well. People depend on me to do what I do. I make people look better, or I do things for people that helps them, but that doesn't mean that I can't at some point still, you know, pursue what I actually want to do. So
okay, so would you say by not only contributing to the entire project, but just writing in your chapter, you know, behind the glory of your profession, the glory of what you're in love with doing, and that can go, you know, with anybody, with whatever their gift is. So by doing that, did that help you, say, you know, if there was like some shyness, or I know what I do, I'm good at what I do, but I'm not really sure how someone else will perceive it. Would you say that was also an eye-opener to help bring you out on certain things?
Right, yes, absolutely. I thought that, like I said, I always recognized that what I did was something that everybody couldn't do, and so I never thought it was not a good thing, but I kind of put myself in a box at the same time by thinking, okay, because this is where I am now, this is where I have to stay. So now I look at it as, this is where I am now. It's cool. I love where I am now. But that doesn't mean that, you know, I can't take on other projects and other things that might eventually turn into something that's going to make me rich and famous.
Well,
there's nothing wrong with that.
It's that, and me as well, as being that behind the scenes chick, you know, you see what's going on, and you see a lot of things up front, but you never really see the work that goes into behind the scenes to getting
right.
a project to where it has to be. And
right.
it's that person that's behind the scenes that, you know, we never see, we never hear about, we don't know anything about. And what has come to light even though it puts a negative image on it, the reality shows of like Love and Hip Hop, I mean, you're starting to see how many people that's been behind, you know, helping to, you know, put people to the forefront, whether it's, you know, not necessarily saying that they're a producer or anything, but they're like the manager, their assistants, you know, all of these different things that they're actually the behind-the-scenes people that's helping who you see. And, you know, everybody just see that up front and don't realize, hey, it's somebody back here making these things happen.
Right, you're right, and I never thought of it like that, but reality shows have shown a whole different side to the whole team mentality that requires almost any successful project. And, I mean, there's hardly anybody that ever really rises to any kind of fame or even just success without a good team, you know, pushing them, helping them, you know, be the best that they can be. But another thing that the kind of was something that kind of related to is that you know, things happen when they're supposed to happen. Things happen, you know, we all have different seasons, and sometimes it's your season to serve, and then sometimes it's your season to be out front. And I was listening to this interview with Pharrell on Oprah earlier in the year. And this was right after Happy came out, and he was really big. But he talked about a time when he was writing and producing for Jay-Z and all these really, really big rap stars. And just feeling like, man, you know, they're getting all this shine, they get all this publicity. I'm behind the scenes writing this music, you know. Everybody just, you know, they get all the attention, all the money, all the stuff. And so he was just determined to put his own album out. And this was before Happy. This was like 5 or 6 years ago. And he wrote all this music for himself and produced it and put it out, and it just fell flat. And he felt like, he felt like a loser, and felt like, wow, nobody's ever going to really know who I am. But it wasn't time for people to know who he was. And then, you know, 5 years later or whatever, he's like on every award show, on every, you know, he could write his own ticket to success because, you know, people know what who he is and what he did. But you can't push it. You can't, because if you try to do it before it's time, it's not gonna work out. And if you try to do it for the wrong reasons, you know, that's what helped me with the book. Helped me ask myself, what is it that you're looking for? Why isn't, you know, writing and getting, because I get lots of love and credit and support from the people that I work with. So why is it so important to me that that people outside of my circle know that, oh, Mary's back there doing this and Mary's doing that? Why is it for ego purposes? Is it, you know, why is that? Why is that important? So I really have to look within myself to try to figure that out.
I know you said like the people that you write for and that's close to you know what you do and when you're doing it, and yes, you know, they give you the appreciation, recognition, and all of that. But for example, the listeners that's listening to everything that's happening on the radio, they just think, okay, you know, everybody's spitting all this stuff out, this is what's happening, and, you know, you're in the back, you know, you wrote whatever, put it out there, whether it's funny, informational, or whatever, you know, are you saying that because you're reading what I say, at the end of your reading, okay, thanks to Mary for writing this for me, is that important to you, or just for you to be known outside of your circle as a writer?
Yeah, well, it is important to me. I mean, and that's not, I mean, that makes me sometimes feel like, you know, it is ego, it could be ego or whatever. But but it is important to me. But now I see it as it will in the right time. If I keep being obedient and I keep doing what I'm supposed to do in the right time, I'll get my time, you know. But I can't force it, you know. And once I relax on that, like I said, a lot of other doors have opened, so I can really see where it's, you know, it's getting closer and closer. So I'm good with that, you know.
Okay. Well, that's actually, I'm glad that you said that about, you know, it's not about, okay, I did this, now I'm just going to run this marathon. It's, you know, let me get in the training for this marathon. I know, you know, my diet, nutrition, you know, practicing, preparing myself for that marathon. So I'm glad that you said that about, you know, hey, it may not be that time yet, which is okay for it not to be that time right now. And I know that there's some work that I'm going to have to put in, and it's not about, even if, you know, you had $1 million sitting in the bank, it's not about paying somebody else to go do the work, and then all of a sudden, here I am. Not to say it doesn't work. It do work for some people, but they're not out there, here I am for long. It's about, you know, you doing the work, you doing what you have to do to get your name, your faith, and your work out there so people can see and know who you are. You know, would it take a minute? Probably so. Could it happen some more? Maybe not, you know. So I'm glad that you did say that and mention that to everybody, that it's not going to be an easy task.
No, and the key is doing good work. And good work, I mean, the Bible says that, you know.
And that's whatever you do, whether you want to do or not.
The race is not won by the swift all the time. It's those that take their time and, you know, and do what they're supposed to do. Follow the process. And there's a process to everything. Like you said, some people do speak to the top really fast, but it's usually a short time that they're at the top.
Just pitch themselves before they hit rock bottom. And then they're able to climb back up. And then some actually do hit rock bottom. So that's important. So I love your chapter and what you put behind your chapter to be open about why you did it, the way you felt. So you put a lot of you into that. And I think once, you know, as people is, you know, they're reading the book, you know, everybody's chapter has, you know, something in it. But, you know, even with that, the ones that's back there, the behind-the-scenes people, or the ones that's just not so sure, even if they are full-time, I think, you know, that not only with what we talked about today will help them, but just seeing those words will also help them. And, you know, I really appreciate you coming on the show, sharing that, talking about your chapter, and just, you know, just being, you know, transparent about this is what happened. It wasn't an easy road, but yes, I am here. So I truly appreciate that.
Well, thank you, and thank you for having me, and thank you for the help that you've given me to explore some other areas and get and some opportunities to be upfront about, well, not be upfront, but to use my gift in other ways that I might not have thought of using it before.
Absolutely.
So stay tuned. There will be some big announcements about stuff coming up.
Yes, stay tuned. let the listeners know, one, if they wanted to reach you for coaching or consulting about being a writer, or just, you know, want that little boost of, you know, go for it, how could they contact you? So what is your social media?
My social media, you can contact me at maryflowersvoice@gmail.com. Mary Flowers, FLOWERS, Boyce, BOYCE, at gmail.com. And follow me on Twitter on at MFlowersBoyce. Okay. And you can order Shift.
Yes.
www.shift-the-book.com/Mary. And if you order it that way, then it goes directly to my page, and you can order it. And I hope you will, because every story is different from all these different women, but there's sort of a common theme of perseverance, of succeeding against the odds, of recognizing that the whole concept of shift is that stagnation is not an option. We all have problems. I think one of the biggest misconceptions, and I used to be this way, and I'm no baby. As old as I am, I'm just really coming to the realization that nobody's life is perfect. Man, you know, look at this chick. You know, she's so successful. She has it all together. Most people have a story of struggle, of redemption, of something that's gone on in their lives. And the common thread between all 20 of these women, no matter how different their story is, the common thread is something caused them to shift, to make a change, to say, okay, I've been going in this direction and it's not working. What can I do to make the shift? And for me, it was to stop chasing after success and to appreciate the success that I currently have. And still continue to work on myself, but not because what happens is when we don't do that, which is where I wanted to just make one point. One of the reasons I wrote the chapter is I was talking to a friend and I was like, man, I'm this age that I am. And what if this is it? You know, I had all these dreams, all these, you know, aspirations and stuff. What if this is it? What if I never really become the success that I wanted to be? And she said, Mary, most people think you are successful. And I was like, okay, so then why am I not, you know, why am I not appreciating and being thankful and praising God for where I am instead of, you know, always looking and see what's next.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of us get caught up like that. So busy worrying about a year down the road and 5 years down the road. I mean, and as a mom, I really can appreciate that because, you know, every day, you know, you're with your kids and you're always rushing, you're always doing something. Well, getting ready for this and getting ready for that, getting ready, and you're missing them right now, you know, so busy trying to prepare them for something far away, and here they are right in front of you, and you're not even enjoying the stage that they're in. So
wow.
I think we can all just kind of slow down in our marriages, and if we don't have kids, whatever relationship we're in, you know, we can beat our husbands up about stuff. Well, you know, I wanted this house, and I wanted, you know, why are we in this townhouse when we could do this? And then before you know it, you know, something could happen, and then you're wishing you were, you know, you forget, like, you know, what you have right now. And that, you know, we can all learn something from that.
Wow, thank you for sharing that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you. And then let's also share in September, on September 20th, you have a workshop coming up.
I do have a workshop. It's called 6 Tips for Blogging About, what is it, Melissa?
Absolutely anything.
I blog for various people, and I help them. Even if I'm not blogging for them, I help them put blogs together and stuff. And so I have to write 6 blogs a week, something like that. And but for some people, it's difficult because the first thing people say is, "What if I run out of ideas? How do you think of something different every day, a different angle?" And so the blog sort of gives you tips on that. It's not as hard as you may think to be able to blog about anything. You should always be looking around. Anything that's going on in the news, with your kids, with your husband, at the movies, all of that are topics for blogs. And if you return into my webinar, I will tell you in 6 easy steps how to blog about absolutely anything.
Stay tuned for the workshop. The link, it will be online via Google Hangouts. So be sure you stay tuned for the link so you can be sure to register for the class. And if you have any questions about the class or you want to try to register early, you can hit Mary up on her social media, or you can send an email to melissa@melissaambrose.org. And in the subject line, be sure you put 6 tips to blogging. Subject line, put 6 tips to blogging, and you will get a response. So thanks again, Mary, for being a part of the show. I wish you well on all of your endeavors and the upcoming workshop, and maybe even a future book. Who knows? Who knows? You've been bit by the bug, so who knows?
Yep, let's hope. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I really do. It's fun.
Absolutely. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. You too. Bye, everybody.